Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Welcome on into the Point After, folks. The Saints winning 20-17, week 15 over the Carolina Panthers. Back-to-back victories now for the Black and Gold has them 4-10 on the season. Here with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, hanging out the Swamp Room, and I got to give you a ton of credit, Cannon. You said before this game, it's a field goal type game, yeah. And I could see Charlie Smith hitting a game winner, and you spoke it into existence.
Well, I don't think we're going to crush anybody, but it doesn't matter. Did you win or lose the game?
Yeah.
You know, let me say, I joke and say, I don't care if we went 3-2, you know, baseball score. Because, you know, after like a few games, no one even remembers the score. You look at your record, okay, did you win or lose?
That's it.
So the bottom line, the Saints had to win. Good for Charlie Smith. But I don't know if he wants to be an NFL kicker. Those are the kind of kicks you have to make. Like I was telling you, it wasn't like, this would be at a different level if it was, that'd have been like, oh, he made a 57 and a 62-yarder. I said, like, what?
Whoa, right.
That's the best of the best in the NFL. But no, 42, 47-yarder, he did his job.
Exactly.
You know how Sean Payton just said, do your damn job, everybody in the building, whatever? Charlie Smith's going to kick a long time and do that. You got to be consistent, and he come with the pressure. He's very clutch, 42 and 47-yard field goal, good. The Saints win 20-17. I don't know, Carolina, they can feel good about themselves. You know, they're hovering around 500. Again, they got to play Tampa Bay twice. Who's going to win the NFC South? But we've kind of discouraged the Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan base. And now the Carolina fan base, they couldn't quite handle the pressure. You got to win. Don't you have to win to solidify maybe winning the NFC South?
Well, and now, I was worried. Bryce made some good throws today.
No, Steve. It was the best Bryce ever played against the Saints. The Saints have kicked his, they've had his number. Like I said at halftime, I bet this, like, I haven't witnessed this by Bryce Young against the Saints, but they play four quarters. He had 210 total yards. He made plays with his feet. He had 49 yards rushing, a 7-yard average. But you look like total yards. He had 161 passing, 49 rushing. But Tyler Shuck was more than basically 100 yards more than him. Tyler Shuck passed for 272 and he ran for 32, so 304 total yards. So even though Bryce is the number one overall pick, look where we drafted Tyler Shuck. Oh, is Bryce that much better than Tyler Shuck? No, but hell no. He's just not. I mean, I'm not. I'm just saying where they're at right now. And if you look, we have our first winning streak of the season. Oh, wow, Bobby, two games. Yeah, but look, more importantly, you know what? We sweep Carolina. Even if they win the NFC South.
Well, bust out those brooms.
Yeah, we kind of swept, y'all. You know, and we 3-2. This is not a good omen, Steve. I thought before the season we'd be 3-3 in the NFC South. Well, we 3-2 right now. I don't want us to lose at Atlanta. So then it would be 3-3. So we have a great opportunity now in the NFC South to go 4-2. Like I said, first winning streak. Right now, we have the 7th pick. And you got some people that always look at the glass half empty instead of half full. You know, like, oh, Bobby, oh, we're going to keep winning. We're already mathematically out of the playoffs. Now we went from the 5th pick. Now we got the 7th pick. And then we're going to beat the Jets. And we're going to beat the Titans. Who knows? We might go on a 5-game winning streak. Where are we picking? Okay, let me tell you, as professional football players and coaches, how they think. And they're constantly being evaluating, and they're competing. You know, Coach Moore was asked that question, Kellen Moore, the head coach, during the week about, the draft lottery. The draft status, or where are you going to pick? Moore said, this is Kellen Moore, 100%, like if you think about it, that if we keep winning, the trade-off is worth it, even though if we drop in the draft. 100%, not 99, not 95, 100% the trade-off is worth it. He says we have a young team, and we're focused on developing them. And he said we'll worry about the draft next year while putting first things first. We're going to make it a priority that we want growth now.
And developing the winning culture.
Yes.
Come on.
And the players playing right now, they're playing for their livelihood. Professional. So I don't want people calling us, oh, well, Bobby, what are we playing for? No, we're playing to establish something and see who's going to be in the future of the team. And you're constantly being evaluated. So enough of that. I'm not going to address that anymore about us winning and all that. Now, I don't know how this is going to turn out. And if you look at it, I wish it had turned out kind of to set the tone to get. The dome was loud at the end. They were into the game. And there's one of many fannies in the seats like I would have thought maybe. But you keep winning, they will show up, I guarantee you. But it wasn't like the Tampa Bay game. You know, we had a great kickoff return and we're winning 7-0. Again, not a good start. But we started out 3-out. And they go 13 plays, 74 yards, 7 minutes, 18 seconds, and now we're losing 7-0. So, again, what are we doing? We're chasing points. And then this was not good. You know how, they were running. Carolina's been running on everybody. They didn't run on us the first game. We played them in Carolina. They had 73 yards rushing total. I said, I guess every game is different. After the first quarter, they had 67.
Ruh-roh.
And they were averaging 5.2 yards a carry. I go, they got a little humbled that first game, so they might run the ball better. But I thought overall we recovered. And the reason why I say that, they went from initially averaging 5.2. They finished with 4.1. Again, I wish that would be in the threes. But they had 31 rushing attempts. And they ended up with 127 yards total, and they had 67 in that first quarter. So, you know, we kind of challenge ourselves and bowed our neck, so to speak. But this was just outstanding. This is what we did. Now, we couldn't – Lil Bryce was, running the ball better than I thought. But a couple of times you got to be under control when you're rushing the passer. Carl Granderson, even Chase Young. Okay, I know you want to cream the quarterback and sack him because, you know, if you just hit Bryce hard, you feel like you can break him in half. But Bryce averaged 7 yards a carry. He had 49 yards, but we were outstanding. And that's why it's up to 4.1. Again, no team has done this in the NFL against that running back combination of Donald and Hubbard. Dotto averaged 3.1 yards a carry. Hubbard averaged 3.6. So we were outstanding against their running backs. And I'm going to tell you, that goes a very long way when all said and done. I thought finally what was outstanding was what we did on third and fourth down offensively. If you look at it, we were 7 of 13 combined. That's outstanding. We were 55% on third down, 6 of 11. Used out defense. We're only giving up 35%. They were 7 of 14, 50%. Now, goal to goal, red zone, you know, 2 of 3, 67%, 100% on goal to goal. That's, in other words, we're not settling for field goals. You're getting touchdowns with all said and done. Now, you can't really look at the turnover margin, but what was key, I told you even like in the Tampa Bay game, okay, if we're not going to be on the plus side, at least be even. Even though we ended up plus one, I don't count that play at the end. You just throw the ball all over.
But
we ended
up stats.
Yeah, we ended up plus one, so now we're minus four for the season, but plus one in that turnover margin. But that's back-to-back games now. Tampa Bay and Carolina, we're not minus one or minus two. Shooting ourselves in the foot with interceptions or fumbled. Now, I thought, you know, when you talk about field position and all that, their punter was outstanding, Sam Martin. That net, 47, remember when he kicked the one like at the beginning of the game, like on the five-yard line? Well, that's tough, angle kicking. 47.3 net. And our punter was better than he usually is. He was right on the 40 at 39.5. But 47.3, Steve, you like all-proof net if you by 43.5, 44. So they were outstanding when you're looking at field position with all said and done. But then y'all think, I don't know, it depends on the officiating crews. And I don't know, who's calling these NFC South games? Look at Atlanta. Atlanta, I don't know how they won the game. I want to know, Charlie can look this up. How many teams have actually won and have had 19 penalties? The Falcons beat Tampa Bay Thursday night, and they had 19 penalties. That's like giving up two touchdowns. So that means realistically, when you look at that, how coaches break it down, the Falcons kicked the Buccaneers' butt. Even though they were, remember, 14 points down, but you know who missed a Thursday night? Kirk Cousins. Look up Kirk Cousins' stats on Thursday Night Football. He is truly unbelievable. But to me, too many penalties for the officiating crew today. Both teams, they called 20 penalties. I would say, you know, okay, 15, that shouldn't be more than 15. You got to call if it's obvious, but if you want to be too involved in the game, I like a game when I see about 9 penalties total. You know, about half of that, half of 20, 9 or 10. But I said, well, the officials are against us. But we had 9, which is never good. You know, 9 for 100 yards. We had 9 for 78. But Carolina had 11 penalties for 103. That's definitely a three-point edge. You know, when you look at that, the discipline of getting penalties or not getting penalties. So you look at the game-winning kick by Charlie Smith. Like Deuce said, that's like a movie. That's a movie. He goes back to his hometown. They're probably going to play that on a loop. You know, they're going to have that on there. I'm like, hey, let's drink a pint. Let's get hammered together. And then I think you should be able to. Because New Orleans.
A game winner from the Irishman.
Yeah, we're like that in New Orleans. He needs to be the king of the Irish parade, St. Patrick's Day parade. There you know how we celebrate
Set
that?
Set it up.
Oh, God. He needs to be in everybody's parade. Because it'd be as homegrown as could be with Charlie Smith. So when I read that name, it's like, how do you get Aber out of Hebrew? I said, how do you get Smith out of S-M-Y-T-H? I don't know. It's an Irish thing, I guess. But look, to show you how this game was weird, do you know after the first three quarters, we only possessed the ball 4 times. You know how you always count your possessions? Oh, and if we win the toss, we want to try and steal a possession, you know, score before the half because we get the ball to start the third quarter. You know how we're going to defer and we're not going to receive the ball. So, ball, we can end the half with a score and then we get the ball to begin in the third quarter. So, you always look at the number of possessions. I want to say, like, on the top of my head, I was like 12. How many possessions you actually get a game? Well, we only had 4 possessions the first three quarters. And think about that. And we went 3 and out on the first one.
Right.
So, you had long, sustained drives. That I had said this at halftime. I don't know if I've ever kind of witnessed this. They had 2 drives in the game, like one by us and one by them. It was like 18 minutes and 40 seconds.
There's a quarter right there,
right?
Like,
no. You know, it was like constant, and what are you going to get? Now, if you look overall, I thought, now I'm looking at the defense a little bit here. Chase Young came on strong at the end. I was like, come on, Chase Young, do something. We need you. We compensated you. We paid you. We need you to get after the quarterback. It's always nice when Cam Jordan does that, but we need a young investment. We need a young investment getting after the quarterback, and Chase Young was able to do that. And if you look at his sack, Kimmel coming on strong, Chase Young actually led for the team in tackles with Sanker and Bullard at six. He was leading in unassisted tackles with four. He had a sack, two quarterback hurries, two tackles for a loss. So he was definitely the outstanding guy on the defensive side. I thought outstanding. Well, he had a big hit right at the beginning of the game on special teams unit, Stutzman. Stutzman led the team with two special teams tackles. But you know how when you game plan, and I've done this before, I never forget this. The Saints had drafted, and I was playing in Atlanta, so don't get mad at me. But they drafted Alex Molden in the first round. I go, oh, no. They go on man-to-man coverage. Who is he guarding? That's who I'm throwing against. Well, that was the Quincy Riley effect today. Boy, they were picking on Quincy Riley. And they had some receiver. I don't even have his name, Steve, right now. From Holy Cross.
Jalen Coker.
Coker. Yeah, Holy Cross. It's like an Ivy League. You know, you look at Holy Cross. You know who went to Holy Cross that played with the Saints as a running back? I'm still remembering now, went to Jesuit. Gil Finnerty.
Okay.
He was like the great white hope. I never forget. Gil Finnerty, he was unbelievable. He went to Holy Cross, if I can recall. I don't know why. But anyway, you can see they were picking on Quincy Riley at times. And there was a sequence that when I looked at the third quarter, and I was like, whoa. They definitely talked about it at halftime. And they say, okay, this is the direction we're going. Because Quincy Riley, if you think about it, he did have a big pass breakup on Tet. It was 3rd and 11, and they ended up going for a 40-yard field goal to make it 10-7. But then they did not give up. Okay, Bryce to Leggett, it was a 3rd and 7, plus 34, tackle Riley, Quincy Riley. And I said, well, then as that drive continued, there was like, then Quincy, no, but you know what? He could have affected it and turned the corner. He dropped an interception. You know, an interception he dropped? That was on that same drive. That all of a sudden, he gives up a 34-yard play, and then he drops the pick, and then all of a sudden it's 2nd and 21, and Jalen Coker beats him for a 32-yard touchdown, and now we're losing 17-7. So it just goes to show you pros versus pros. When you got opportunities, boy, you better make those plays, and they were going to stick to the game plan. So I thought, you know, this is a kind of a rookie welcome to the NFL moment for Quincy Riley, and hey, we counting on him. That's one thing. We've seen him getting burnt and sometimes in training camp, but you have to have a short-term memory if you're a cornerback. You always have to remember, that wasn't me. Then you go and make a play. Because he didn't make plays on the ball. Usually he was one that I would think would not drop an interception and would catch it. Because in training camp, those type plays, Quincy Riley was making the interceptions. So that was something that caught my eye when I looked at that. Again, you look, I thought a lot like Chase Young. I thought Chris Olave really came on strong at the end. I want to say at the beginning, it was almost toward the end, he had like maybe one catch or something. He ended up with six total catches, 85 yards, 9 targets. I thought Valet, usually if he's targeted, he catches the ball. He had 6 targets, 5 catches, 69 yards. Olave had that one touchdown. Estimate, 3 targets, 3 catches. Then a nice screen with him. Had a long gain, the longest gain of the game, a 19-yard. I think that was a screen play, right? That we went, he had 3 catches, 3 targets, 39 yards, and that long gain of 19 yards. But Coker, for them, he was 4 targets, 4 catches, 58 yards. I thought Ted McMillan, we kind of handled him. Yeah. Only 2 catches, 25 yards total. And he was leading all rookies in receptions. When you look at it right now, I got to find my notes somewhere. I have that somewhere where you're showing what he was doing, you know, for this year. But Chris Olave coming up big. I thought, you know, Tyler Shuck accepted the challenge. If you look at Bryce, he had a quarterback rating. Very respectable. He had, I think, Tyler Shuck, a great rating. I'd say Bryce Young, respectable at a high level, 96. Well, Tyler Shuck was 110.4. And again, you could see Shuck making plays with his feet. Now, obviously, you want him to avoid those hits and stuff. Because even though they have rules not to really cream the quarterback, they will try and cream you now and then. And you don't want them cheap shotting you. They will try and do that. But just like Jackson Dart of the Giants, they will hit you if they have an opportunity. But again, I thought the outstanding win, 20-17. I think it's good to, from a confidence standpoint, to have these type of comeback wins.
You know, just giving us heart problems.
Yeah. It's like, no, we have a chance, and then, and obviously, you know, I didn't want it to be too hard. I was like, well, maybe, you know, it doesn't matter if he makes it. We can still win in overtime. You know, it wasn't like this is like we lose him by one. You know, it's tied.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe, but no, you want to win it in regulation like that whenever you have that opportunity. But, again, an outstanding win. When you say the Saints are going to win three in a row, the sorry-ass Jets are coming to town the next Sunday. So we should win three games in a row. And I would challenge the team, hey, can you handle a little bit of success? You know, the Jets aren't going nowhere. We're not going to the postseason. But those kind of teams, those are the kind of teams on the road you want to jump on them quick and not give them any confidence and saying, man, make them think this is what the NFL is all about. Boy, like, we don't have a chance. So if the Saints could jump on them quick, I think that could be critical and to kind of, you know, make them not really want to play for four quarters. But, again, the Saints come out on top 20-17 and enjoyable game. I'd say more enjoyable finish, how the fight in the team. You know, because at the beginning, I was like, man, come on. Now, Carolina, they didn't take advantage of their opportunity. You know, they knew in advance Tampa Bay already lost. And now you're in first place. It shows you they can't handle success. They went first place too long. So now they're fighting. So, but I'm intrigued. I want to see what's going to happen because those are the games that make difference. What are they going to do head-to-head?
Sure.
Because they got three games left. 203 Tampa Bay and Atlanta have to play this. They ain't even played yet. Think how crazy that is. They haven't even played.
Great things, though, for the Saints going forward. Even, Bobby, this rivalry you would imagine with the Carolina Panthers. Bryce Young's going to be around for a little bit, and he's now dropped to 1-5 against the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, well, 1-5. Even though he played good, that's really frustrating. He finally played good against the Saints. Well, he played good that one time they won, but not on this level. I didn't think he looked poised out there. He didn't look overwhelmed. But
yeah, a few throws. I was like, who's that dude?
But not so fast. Hey, he might end up being like I was against Joe Montana. You know, I end up being like 2-9. Like, hopefully that continues, that we keep putting it to Bryce. Because he is their future.
Right.
Like, I think probably Tyler Shuck's our future. We have to still wait and see. But I'm very high on Tyler Shuck. And I think he'll close out the season at a high level. And we'll say, well, this is the quarterback we're going with. We're going to go in a different direction in the draft and make our team better around him.
You can shuck it up with the Cajun Cannon here at the Swamp Room. We're hanging out here in Vets in Metairie. Saints get a 20-7 victory over the Carolina Panthers. We're going to take a break. Come back with your calls, 504-260-1870. Be back with even more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Week 15 is a winner for the Saints, getting a 20-17 victory over the Carolina Panthers. Folks, American Safety, for each point scored by the Saints this season, American Safety is going to donate $50 to disaster relief. American Safety, stronger than the storm, and right here with you. KJ, what you were looking for?
Yeah, I got what I was looking for. I should have remembered this off the top of my head, but, I can't remember everything. but Chase Young, we need Chase Young to continue to kick ass. And for the home folks, look, it's the third game in a row in the dome. He's now got a sack. You know, you play, depending on, you play 17 games, 8 or 9 games. Boy, if he has a sack every time he's in the dome, then that's close to getting to double digits. And then all of a sudden, look, he missed 5 games.
Right.
When you think about it. And remember I said at training camp, I saw him practice against the Saints, against the Rams. I said I'd be shocked if he don't have way more. When I say way more than double digits, I'd say like 12. Or something. I'm not saying he's Myles Garrett, you know, ready to set an NFL record. I mean, look at Myles Garrett with the Browns. Now that dude's different level. He might have the NFL record, and who he's going to overtake? The guy on TV. Michael Strahan. Yeah, you know, the Favre gave him that sack at the end. But anyway.
Right.
Yeah, but Chase Young, we need Chase Young to continue to do that because he's the young guy we've invested in off the edge and where we drafted him and all. He was one of those guys that when he came out of Ohio State, can't miss. You know, now you have to have luck with injuries and all that. So I like to see how Chase Young had an impact. Because one time he let Bryce Young fake him out. And, Chase Young coming up with a sack at home. And hopefully he has 4 in a row against the Jets. Hell, yeah, you get a sack against the Jets, at least I would think, huh?
Man, Bobby, you looking at this Saints team today, a lot of injuries that they had to deal with and still were able to overcome that as well as a 10-point deficit. You saw too many guys like Devin Neal.
Yeah, what happened to Devin Neal? All of a sudden, I think then he wasn't even playing no more.
Right. So he ended up getting knocked out of the game. You're like, oh, no, we're down to like our fourth string running back.
No, we're going like to Hull and Estime and stuff. Hull ended up having 4 carries, 12 yards, Estime. 3 carries, 11 yards. But I like about Estime, though, a pass receiving running back, that screenplay. Again, that was a great call at the time. 3 targets, 3 catches. That was the longest pass gain of the day. He ended up with 39 yards receiving, but that gain was 19 yards. So, you end up doing by committee. You know what it reminds me of? You remember when we had a better record than the Seahawks?
Oh, yeah.
I think that might have been the beast mode run. And we go to Seattle. We won 2 games more than them. But since they won their division, we had to play at Seattle. And then we got waxed. But you don't remember that game? We were like on our 8th running back. That season, I'm telling you, we had went through like 7. We were like on the 8th running back. We said, who's playing running back for us this week? Yeah. It was that bad and not having luck with injuries. Well, no, right now you don't look like that. No Alvin Kamara. And, then you look, Kendre Miller.
Right.
We're counting on him. And then now
Devin Neal. We're leading another rookie and then not so fast.
Yeah. So we going with running backs that they just waiting for their opportunity. It's a great opportunity for Hull and Estime. If you look at them, the fans will let you know about them. Here you got Austin Estime. He's like 5'11", between 225, 230. He's in his second year. He went to Notre Dame. You know, he's from New York. And then Evan Hull, he's like 5'10", 210. He went to Northwestern in Evansville, Chicago. So they're both in their second year, and he's from Minnesota. So it's all about opportunity. So when you're a young guy trying to make it, okay, here's that window. Okay, if you want to keep a job in last year and then you're out, okay, you have three games. Okay, what are you going to do against the Jets? Here's your chance. I don't know how hurt Devin Neal is. Okay, here's your chance. Jets, then you got the Titans, and you got Atlanta. You wanted to keep you around, or you want other teams to notice you? This is when it's all about taking advantage of opportunity. Steve, you and I was talking about this, and this is sad news. Pat Mahomes looks like he blew out his knee.
Unbelievable.
And you think, oh, Pat Mahomes is going to be invincible. No, Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs, he hurt his knee bad. So now who's playing quarterback for him? People don't even know who's backing up Pat Mahomes for the Chiefs.
I have to look it up, and it's Gardner Minshew at Kansas City.
Gardner Minshew, Okoriko. You know Okoriko and how you travel and you have to take advantage of opportunity? Now what he needs to do as a pro, you want everyone to notice you? Do awesome for the Chiefs and play at a top level to end the season, and you'll have a job. That'll count like for 2 years. And then you keep getting paid, and you become a millionaire over and over again. But now you got to play, go do something. So Uncle Rico has a great chance with Andy Reid and the Chiefs.
No, we've seen, I mean, it's nothing new. The quarterback's going down, and then what is a team, you know, who's behind them to lead the way?
Oh, you don't know what to ask you.
Phillip Rivers,
yeah,
I know.
What did Phillip Rivers do today? I think the Colts were hanging with the Seahawks.
They did. Let me get the final stat line here for you.
And you know I think kicked good, too, and it figures. Now, we love our kicker now. Blake Groupie kicked good for the Colts. But good for him. I mean, we can't hate on nobody. You know, a lot of times, oh, they leave the Saints, everybody does good. You know, but you told me Blake Groupie was, like, perfect today, how it figures. Yeah. So, but what did, because, man, you're 44 years of age.
Rivers ended up being 18 of 27, 120 yards, a touchdown, and a pick.
Okay, so he was hanging.
One sack.
You know, only one sack. I mean, Tyler Shuck got sacked five times, and he can move around. So, Phillip Rivers must have been getting rid of that ball. And then I thought Jonathan Taylor had 25 carries. I thought he'd have been around 30. That's about
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he averaged 3.5 a carry against that Seattle defense.
Yeah, Seattle's my dark horse in the NFC. When I look at who could represent the NFC, my two dark horses were the Colts and the Seahawks. But the Colts are all beat up. They all got hurt. So, you know, with Indiana Jones going down, tearing his Achilles tendon. You know,
where does that leave him for next
year? And he wants to get paid.
Right.
No, you're damaged goods. But you know, came back from the Achilles again, Kirk Cousins. Oh, we got to face him. I'm telling you, look at Kirk Cousins. Steve, you got to look that up. Because we love football. Kirk Cousins on Thursday Night Football is unfreaking believable. No, he is on Thursday night. His winning percentage, all what he's done, it's like it's off the chain. Like, Kirk Cousins did all that? No. And I tell you what. Holly played Thursday night against Tampa Bay. He outplayed the guy who was supposed to be at the beginning of the year, Baker Mayfield, like MVP level. No, it wasn't. But Thursday night football, Steve, I'm telling you, he's been off the chain.
They have him here at least with just a 6-6 record all time on Thursday night football.
Something about his numbers. It must be his numbers then or something.
Let me see. I'll look this up break here. On the point after, we're going to take a short intermission, come back with even more at the Swamp Room in Metairie, folks. Stop side, say hey to the Cajun Cannon after a 2017 black and gold victory. Stepping away, be back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Swamp Room Bar and Grill, 5,400 vets in Metairie for the point after the black and gold get a 20-17 victory, week 15. Carolina Panthers sweeping the Kitty Cats right out the dome. Cajun Cannon, black and gold now improving to 4-10 on the season, have won 2 in a row, 3-2 in the NFC South. And boy, we got some guys waiting on the line right now, talking to us here, 504-260-1870 to sound off with the Cajun Cannon. Hector, you are up first on the point after this evening. What's going on, Hector?
Hector always has a lot of wisdom. I never met Hector, but this is a man, I think, I don't know if he ever played football, but he has a mind for football. And I don't even know who Hector is. But every time I talk to Hector, I'm not thinking like, man, That dude don't know what he's talking about. No, Hector's very knowledgeable. Hector, enlighten me today.
Hey, thank you, Bobby. Thank you, guys. I really, truly appreciate it. You guys are always providing us as fans great wisdom on how the game is played. So, you know, my love goes right back to you guys. But, you know, this is another good win for the Saints. I feel like Tyler Shuck is trending in the right direction. What I've noticed the past couple of weeks is, you know, besides him running for his life at certain times in a game, he seems to be making better decisions week in and week out. He had no interceptions today. He could have had one, but he didn't have any interceptions. But I noticed he's taking what the defense is giving him, spreading the ball around. And just his play alone, I think, hopefully will help the rest of the team be inspired, because the next couple of weeks, I think, are winnable games. And I just came back from New York. And trust me, they don't think nothing about the Jets. So, you know, you got to win that game. You got to win that game. You had two good games. You're 3-2 in your division. You beat, you know, Tyler Shuck, you know, he outplayed Baker Mayfield, now Bryce Young. You know, we're trending in the right direction. Are we perfect? No, because I still think penalties is a problem. I still think that right side of the offensive line is a problem. I think he's taking too many hits, too many sacks. But the good thing about it is that, like I heard the commentators early on, we're developing an identity of not giving up. We could have cashed it in when we didn't convert that 4th-and-1 after we took the points off the board. And maybe you can talk about that. We could have, you know, when it should have been 17-13, but when we took the points off the board and we tried to go for 4th-and-1 and we didn't get it, we could have cashed it in right then and there. Because that's what we did in previous games earlier in the year.
But the team kept hanging around.
And now I think we're getting that identity, and hopefully good things happen when those things keep showing up on film that, hey, you're doing the right things and you're turning in the right direction, especially on the defensive side of the ball, how much we improved in third down efficiency and also fourth down, and also just making plays at the right time. And I want to give this player a lot of love, because I still think he doesn't get the credit that he deserves around the league as DeMario Davis. He became third player today to record 1,500 tackles since 2000. And he's in a small company with Bobby Wagner and London Fletcher. And that's just amazing, him being in his 14th year to provide that leadership, and also seeing Cam Jordan trying to run down Bryce Young and never giving up. I think the team is just seeing that and gelling around that. You know, it's kind of hard to put it in words, but you see it. And then the fans are starting to see it, and you start telling yourself, hey, look, there is hope. You know, when
And Hector, you know what? You're like, I don't know, DeMario Davis, Double D, and Cam Jordan, I appreciate what they've done in the NFL and for the Saints, but they're getting too old. You can't have a team of just a bunch of young players. You got to have that mix. It's a balance, and you got to have that veteran leadership. And obviously, DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan has provided that for the defense. Now, offensively, I don't know if we really have that. That's why the quarterback has to be that guy. You know how Drew Brees was? But it's not always the case. They got to have the personality to want to do that. I think you have that in Tyler Shuck. And then the one guy, he's not – I mean, I think he could start off every team at center or guard, but then McCoy's not been available for half the season back to back. Yeah. So that's why I think right now, offensively, I think we have the right leadership defensively. Offensively, okay, who is that guy? You might say even like Alvin Kamara, but Alvin Kamara is like, he can lead by example, and then he might get guys fired up, but he's like, he's too cool for school sometimes. I don't know if that's even the right word. But looking at even McCoy, to me, he could do it with his physicality, but he's also kind of intellect. I don't view McCoy as nasty. You know, sometimes you need those nasty leaders and stuff, and that type of vocal leader. But that's why I think Tyler Shuck has to be that guy for the offense. Go ahead.
And also, too, again, I was watching the game. At what point did did Devin Neal go out in the lake? I still don't. I haven't heard anything. You know what the injuries were. Because, you know, I saw a lot of good things with Valet and Tyler Shuck until, you know, thankfully that Olave stepped up, you know, with those clutch catches.
Yeah, because at the beginning it looked like Tyler Shuck's really targeting Valet. I think, man, I couldn't see the replay. I was in the press box and looking. I think maybe Shuck missed Olave on a deep one, but he was trusting Valet. Saw this, that I wrote this, and it was in the second quarter, and I'm telling you, I'm not hating on Chris Olave, but Olave wouldn't have made that catch. It was Shuck to Olave plus 17. I said, what a catch. And, you know, we're losing 7-0 at the time, and I said, what a catch. You want to talk about it? It was almost like an alley-oop going up for a rebound, however you want to describe it. No, that was a bad pass, and Valet caught it. So as a quarterback, oh, he helped me out. He made that catch, and that was on the same drive when right on the six-yard line. Remember, a Shuck to Juwan Johnson. Juwan made a great catch. I don't know, the ball ricocheted and ended up with it. That was on the drive, too, with Taysom. It was 3rd-and-1. And we faked the tush push. Now, I don't mind the play,
right,
but you can't string that out. Taysom needs to hit it and get it and go north and south and get an end zone. But then we end up scoring on 4th-and-1, the quarterback sneak by Shuck. And that was a drive that you could see the offense as you come together. We went 17 plays, 95 yards, 11 minutes, 22 seconds to make it 7-7. And all of that happened on that drive. No, it was like crazy. Steve, you remember that catch that Valet made?
Oh, yeah. I'll show it to you again at the break here on social media. It was unreal.
No, it was like, now, it's not even a contested catch. It's a catch that's off target. It's like, whoa, that's called,
made it happen.
That's called snatching the football out of the air. That's my football.
Right.
And I'm going to go get it. No, I'm encouraged. I think Valet will make Olave better, and then even vice versa. So it's a good thing. So I like that. Now, with Tipton, it can kind of be up and down. I really don't know what direction we're going there as far as a third, fourth receiver and all that. But, you know, you can't keep everybody. And, you know, Rashid Shaheed, I think he'll do well for Seahawks already. I wonder what Rashid Shaheed did today with Seattle. I know he ran back that 100-yard kickoff last week. So.
Right now, let's pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. As we head to break here at the Point After here at the Swamp Room in Metairie, want to let you know Cajun Cannon 2, Saints PR put this out. With today's victory over Carolina, the Saints now have 200 regular season wins in the Caesars Superdome. So today was win number 200
win
in the dome.
Win number 200. I tell you what, that's a lot of football. So we got to stay in that. We got to want to be in that number. And listen, just keep winning. The people will be there. I guarantee you.
We're going to be here coming at you back with more on The Point After right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, folks. All kinds of good things happening today. The Point After, Saints winning 20-17. Also, right now, the Pelicans in Chicago have an 89-85 lead over the Bulls. 6 minutes, 50 seconds left there. And what Zion Williamson in the lineup this evening, Cannon?
Oh, he's
19
playing?
Minutes, 11 points right now.
Well, I don't care. I'm glad he's playing. you know, he's in the game. So, wait, would this be two games in a row if we beat the Bulls, beat the Trailblazers, and beat the Bulls? So
more streaking.
Yeah, the Saints and Pelicans are streaking.
Come on, Pelicans, you got to pull it out.
Yeah, you got to pull it out on the road in Chicago. They're not dealing with inclement weather because they're inside. So, yeah, they can pull it out.
So right now, yeah, once again, in Chicago, that game is 89-85 in the fourth quarter. We'll definitely keep in tabs on that. Going to go to our talk and text line right now. You can sound off 504-260-1870. And next up, Hollywood and Thibodeau. Glad to hear you after a victory, victory, Hollywood. How's it going, man?
It's going pretty good. How y'all doing today?
All right, Hollywood Swinger. What you got?
Yeah, Bobby, I was impressed with that long drive in the second quarter.
Yes.
8 minutes and what, or 9 minutes?
Yeah. If you look at that drive, 11 minutes, 17 plays, 95 yards, 11 minutes, 22 right. seconds. I haven't seen that kind of drive in a while. That I guarantee that has to be amongst the lowest as far as yardage and time and plays in the whole NFL this season. No, because usually you turn over the ball or something happens and you don't make up and you kick a field. This is a touchdown drive. 17 plays, 95 yards, 11 minutes, 22 seconds. No, Hollywood, that I was encouraged by that because, okay, we didn't start off fast. You know, definitely we started out 3-and-out. You know, we're losing 7-0, and then you have that kind of drive. No, that was encouraging to witness that.
Right. Hey, Bobby, if we would have had Charlie Smith at the beginning of the season, when Blake Rupert was missing them little 40-yard field goals, I think we would have won more games. And I think we'd be right there with the division with the Panthers and the Buccaneers.
Well, we might have been 5-10 instead of 3-10. Oh, I don't know. That makes a difference. I mean, the bottom line is, okay, you got to keep it real. Our schedule was tough at the beginning of the year. Just look at the strength of schedule, who you're playing, and who you're beating. Now, the one thing, it doesn't matter. You look at the whole NFL. No, we're kicking ass in the division. But you know what? To me, records, you could throw that out. Because we're familiar. Now, they're familiar with us, but we're familiar with them. So, listen, I don't care if Atlanta goes in a winning streak. We can beat them in Atlanta. They can beat us. I don't know. You flip a coin. What I always tell you every year about Atlanta? I even said that about Tampa Bay. I said, I don't care how good Tampa Bay is. Do you know the year Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl with John Gruden? You know the Saints beat them twice?
Right. We were 0-2 against them.
Tampa
2-0,
Bay.
I mean.
No,
yeah.
We were 2-0 against them.
Right.
Yeah, and they won the Super Bowl. So that's why when I look, it's your record, what you do. Obviously, you know, like you're trying to make the playoffs in the NFC, and then who you stacked up against. Like, you know when your team's really good? If you go on the road and you win at Seattle, you know, like, whoa, if you do that. Now, I was impressed with Carolina because they looked like we could hang with the Rams. No.
No,
I was
you're
like,
right.
No. Oh, but Carolina beat the Rams. It's yep. the NFL. So that's what I mean. You never know. So that's why when I'm looking where the team's at, baby steps and growth, and where are we going to get, I think we can hang in the NFC side. I'm not even worried about that. Next year. Or the year after.
Right.
The year after, 26, 27, 28, I would say shame on us if we're not at least 3-3. Now, you ultimately want to be, to say 6-0, that's unrealistic.
4-2.
4-2. Go keep going. 4-2. 4-2. Or even 5-1 is better. But to say 6-0, that's not realistic. Because I think
those were the good old days.
Yeah, but even with Drew Brees, it might be 5-1. you know, it was one of those things. Yeah. How we always play good in Tampa, and then not necessarily in the dome. So that's why, look, what are we going to do against the other teams? And so that's why the sorry-ass Jets come into the dome. The Saints are going to be favored.
Got to shoot down the Jets.
Damn right. And then shoot down the Titans. I don't care. You know, I got to win on the road. You know how I always said this, that now they play 17 games. It's going to eventually go to 18 games. So we like those even numbers instead of odd numbers. Because you look at the home and away schedule. It just makes more sense. And now the players, the collective bargaining agreement, the players union, they're going to agree with that. They just pay them more money. But you don't want to like 16 games. This is a formula. I'm telling you, I got this from Coach Martin. It's true. That's why we got to take care of homes in New Orleans, wins in New Orleans in the dome. When you're playing at home, you got before they had 17 games, 8 home games, 8 road games. He said, Coach Martin would say, you got to go at least 6-2 at home, and you can go 500 on the road. You know what's that? You get double-digit wins, you have 10 wins, and you're always in the hunt. Doesn't mean you're going to win anything, but you throw your fans a bone, and you're winning. We have got a winning team. We're right there. And it's entertaining. It's not like, oh, the team sucks or whatever. No, that's where you want to get is that, you know, I think we can handle the NFC South. But what are we going to do against the other challenging teams? And, do we have a shocker win that's not in the NFC South right now and that won't happen this season? So you look at Carolina. What did Carolina do and look at in first place right now? They beat the freaking Packers, who probably is going to go in the NFC in the Super Bowl. I don't even know what the Packers did today. But look, Carolina beat the Packers and the Rams.
Green Bay lost to Denver 34-26.
Oh, Sean Payton. Oh, the Sean Payton
effect. That could be a Super Bowl preview. Who even knows anymore?
Yeah. Bo Nix. Did Bo Nix do good today? Because I think that's a great team. And Sean Payton got Bo Nix to get off.
302, four touchdowns. Pretty good day.
That might be his best game of the season, Bo Nix. Charlie, that is crazy. Watch out for Sean Payton and the Broncos. That's a convincing win because the Packers were on a roll. You know, I look at that. But who knows? You might have quarterbacks representing the AFC who is not the quarterbacks of quarterbacks. You know when you think about that? Now, Josh Allen came back with the Bills, but it's like Pat Mahomes, no. He's out. You can go Joe Burrow, no.
And Charlie's messaging me to slow your roll on the Packers. He's saying Micah Parsons likely tore his ACL today.
Oh, that ain't good.
Not good news for the Pack.
The same day as Pat Mahomes?
Right.
Well, man, football's tough. Man, it ain't easy.
And Charlie adds, too, it wasn't even a contact injury, so you know those are always concerning.
Man, I was doing the radio with Jamal Anderson.
Yeah.
You remember Dirty Bird Jamal Anderson? That they ran him to death one season, and he was against the Cowgirls. He just cutting, and he was so strong in his legs, and it's so powerful. He just cut, planted his knee, pow, just blew up. You never know.
Well, we do know Saints win 20-17 over the Carolina Panthers, week 15 in the Dome. We're going to take a break here on the Point After. Come back with more right after this. Oh, the joy is crowded here at the Swamp Room. We'll be back with even more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Black and gold winners tonight, 20-7 over the Carolina Panthers, week 15 in the Caesars Superdome. Folks, with every Saints field goal, Keesler Federal is going to donate $1,000 to New Orleans Women's and Children's Shelter. This year, Keesler Federal has donated $22,000. Back here on the Point After, want to get into our sound that we've accumulated over this 20-17 victory for the Saints. Rookie quarterback Tyler Shuck was first to hit the podium. Let's hear from him and what he had to say after the black and gold get their fourth victory of the year.
You heard what we just asked Charlie about doing what he did in this city. What did it mean for you to get a win like this at home in front of the fans?
It was huge. I think for me, it was, I think, just personal for all the guys coming back here. I feel like we had played well on the road, but we wanted to show the fans what we could do here just as a team collectively, just the resiliency. It was just a lot of fun. I was just proud of everybody throughout the whole game, especially against, you know, a really good team, you know, two playoff teams kind of back-to-back, and it was a lot of fun.
How would you describe how you played in those last two drives? Certainly things were a lot snappier just because of the clock situation, but how would you look at those last two drives and what was different?
You know, I think throughout the game, I think we just, we weren't able to kind of sustain some of the stuff and kind of get into on the ball scenarios, and they did a good job of mixing things up. But I think in those, you know, we were all on the same page and we were going to go drive down and score, and everybody was clicking. So I think just preparedness and just operation, you know, feet and eyes was going through my head the whole time. So I was just kind of operating and, you know, was proud of the whole offense being able to sustain that and get down there. And, you know, obviously we'd like to get in the end zone as much as we can, but it was a great finish.
Tyler, why do you think you're so good at, like, meeting the moment in those tough spots, like the clutch moments, third and long? It kind of seems like you rise to the occasion, like, over and over.
Yeah, I felt prepared. You know, I felt prepared with it. And for me, I kind of, you know, I like being able to just, they know we're throwing it, we're going to throw it, and just go out there and get it. And he had some insane catches. I got to put some better ball placement on him, but I mean, he's unbelievable when it comes to just throwing it in his radius. All those guys stepped up. Olave, you know, he wasn't, you know, getting a lot of action early on, but the way he kind of stepped up, I mean, it was unbelievable for him and Kevin and everybody. Was, you know, I was just really proud of them, you know. It's tough whenever you kind of not getting the ball early on. You kind of have ebbs and flows. It's a tough position. So the resiliency of those guys, the resiliency of the O-line, it was just a great effort.
On the other hand, Chase Young both spoke about how they're confident in you to get the job done. What does it mean to you to know your teammates are confident you can lead them to a victory?
I mean, that's why I play football, really. You know, I think that's why any of us are out there, is because, you know, it's when you can kind of make the game simple as far as you're out there playing with your boys and you're out there operating on an every single day basis, that's what's fun to me. And it means a lot coming from those guys, because I got full trust in them, and we put them in some tough scenarios. They responded, you know, time and time again. And I think that's just, you know, how we can operate as a team when we're playing together and trust each other.
What's the conversation when you guys call a QB draw with 12 seconds left?
It was laser focus. You know, we had worked in that scenario every single day. The defense knows that play like the back of their hand, our defense, because they're like sick and tired of us. You know, we do so much situational football, and that's just a credit to Kellen and all the guys and all the coaches. And, you know, we got the look that we wanted, and we couldn't, you know, it was just everybody was on the same page, and it was just a kind of a great finish.
When you say you do it every day, like you even do that on Wednesday, Thursday, in season, like, go back to training camp?
I would say every week, but yeah, since training camp, every week, those kind of in the game, in a half scenarios, at least once per week. Usually you're going for 13 seconds is kind of the cutoff. 12 is a little bit risky, but I mean, it can be done, but I knew how to get down. I kind of, you know, maybe sold a little bit because I know we didn't have any timeouts. So, I mean, it definitely hurt, but I was good. And, but yeah, so we had to be in that scenario, and we were going to clock it.
What goes through your mind when you do have to come out off there and Spencer runs in, and, like, are you trying to do a practice pass?
Yeah, I mean, I was fine, but it was just kind of, you know, we had to do it. And, yeah, just got to be smart, get down earlier. But yeah, it ended up working out.
You know, I was trying to think of a tactful way to ask you if you had to sell that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I don't know. don't know how I should say any of this, but it was just a great, it was a great effort. But yeah, there was, it was a great kick. My hip, I took like a knee or that fourth down, like right on my hip, or back.
Did they have to do anything or?
They just put like a pad on it. Yeah. So just.
You were feeling no pain to start.
No, I was. It was. I definitely was hurting. But it was. I knew it was good as long as I could throw and move around. But yeah, should be good to go.
And that drive was like 18, 12, 13, 14, like back to back to back. When you're playing a different defense, you felt like you could take advantage of, or you just knew you had to be aggressive.
A little bit of both. I mean, we're going to be aggressive as much as we can, and you got to, you know, we knew we had to get chunks. You know, a lot of the stuff earlier on, you're trying to keep the ball moving positively, but in those scenarios, you got to be a little aggressive that way, just with time management wise and how much time you have on the clock. So it was just kind of great play calling by Kellen, great operation by all the guys.
Does the 17 play drive like kind of set that up later in the game to allow you guys to that more when you're kind of grinding away?
I think it just builds confidence as an offense and sustainability, because that's what I feel like the Panthers have been really good at, is just possessing the ball. And we knew that we had to do that ourselves. We had to sustain those drives. That's kind of the name of the game in the NFL, really, is you got to stay on the field to give your defense that break. And then obviously you're operating, you want to drive. So it was just really, really good effort by all the guys, because, I mean, you get tired down at the end. You got to keep mentally strained, physically strained. So, but, you know, you train for those moments.
Now, what is talking about? Kellen was talking about just like the sense that you guys are building something right now. Do you feel that in the locker room?
Yeah, for sure. It kind of feels like week three within the locker room. You know, feels like we're just kind of, you know, gearing up, hitting our stride. I think we're just having fun. You know, I think, but at the same time, you know, we're building something here for that we all want to be here forever. We're here to stay. So it's just a lot of fun being around the guys every single day, but knowing, you know, we have to go back to our process. You know, all the results come if we kind of continue what we're doing process wise and having fun day to day. Go ahead.
Thanks, Carl. What does it say about the saying that down the stretch you don't have day and we'll see?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You know, I'm not sure on the status of those guys, but obviously, I mean, they're huge. They're huge for us because of the plays that they're making, who they are as individuals and people. So hopefully they'll be good. And but I was really proud of how everybody stepped up to kind of in that roles. And it was just, I mean, nobody blinked. You know, Audric, Evan, Kevin, all those guys, nobody blinked. They stepped up and made plays. So, you know, I think they'll, you know, be great for us.
That was Saints quarterback Tyler Shelk after the black and gold.
He sounds like a veteran.
20-17 victory, leading the black and gold to their fourth victory of the year in the Caesar Superdome. Also, cheers to Shelk getting his first home victory.
Yeah, first home victory. And let me tell you what most teams do and what they'll say, don't give up splash or chunk plays.
Right.
Don't give up them damn 3 or 4 play drives. What? We give up a touchdown. I'm telling you right now, I don't know if I've witnessed this in a while. Now, one time we got a touchdown. The other time we got a field goal, but we possessed the football. I don't know if I've seen this in a while, because defenses would tend to say, no, keep doing that, bend but don't break, whatever. They're going to make a mistake. We had drives of 17 and 14 plays. Not 3 or 4. And we only got 10 points out of it. But I'm telling you, because they said, don't worry. And Chuck being a young quarterback and not throwing a pick or something, that's a huge positive. So when you're evaluating a quarterback and how you manage the game and all that, and how you what do you do on that drive? Like now you can maybe, you know, there's only one play. Maybe I thought he could have had an interception. But I look at that 17 and 14 play drives. But I thought the turning point, one of the turning points in the game, because you have to remember what occurred then. It's 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Now we're losing 17-10, and they're on our 35-yard line.
Right.
They got 3rd and 3. And before that, you remember it was 39, and Chase Young finished strong. But then not only he didn't contain Bryce Young on the scramble for 10 yards, he lost and he was offsides. So I said, damn, come on, Chase Young, we need you. And then third and three, that Bryce Young gets plus two. Now it's fourth and one. Chuba Hubbard, he's been a Saints killer. He didn't kill the Saints again today.
Not today.
That's the pass.
Right.
Chuba Hubbard stuffed.
He's stuffed
by Josh Bullard. It was a mass of people in there. But Josh Bullard, who comes up big, you can thank Brandon Staley for that. That's one of his boys. So he ended up leaving the whole game with six total tackles tied for the team lead with Chase Young and Sanker. So Bullard, I'm sure, doesn't get a lot of love like sometimes with Nathan Shepard and all that. But I'm telling you right then, we stuffed them fourth and one because they went out 35-yard line. And if they get that first down, now remember, we're losing 17-10, and we all know the eventual outcome. So that's a critical moment in the game. And we did that before in the goal line. So we've had some stout goal-to-goal, one-yard line or short yardage situations. So good for Josh Bullard coming up with that big stuff.
And I don't know, Cajun Cannon, winning's getting contagious. The Pelicans pulling out a 114-104 victory in Chicago. Pelly's getting their win, fifth win of the season, and also have won two in a row.
Two in a row, I'm telling you, having some good vibes. It's because we want a Merry Christmas. I think that's why we're in December. We don't want to be a Scrooge Bah Humbug.
We're getting our mojo back.
We don't want that Bah Humbug, all that stuff. But we want to be positive in the Christmas spirit. And if you win, you keep us in the Christmas spirit.
So once again, Pelicans also getting a win, 114-104 over the Chicago Bulls. They've won two in a row. Right now, we're at the point after here at the Swamp Room in Metairie, taking a break, coming back with more folks right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Nothing like a victory. The Saints get a 20-17 win in the Caesars Superdome, taking on the Carolina Panthers, sweeping the Kitty Cats on the season. Black and gold now are 4-10 on the season. They've won two in a row. They've dropped back-to-back NFC South opponents. Carolina falling to 7-7 on the season after this one. Looking at some of the other action going around the NFL, the game going on at the moment, Minnesota and Dallas are tied up 14-14 apiece. Some of the other scores from today, the Eagles taking down the Raiders 31-0. The Cleveland Browns fall hard, 31-3 to the Chicago Bears. It was the Baltimore Ravens winning 24-0 over the Bengals. 16-13, Chargers beating the Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs, though, lose their quarterback, Pat Mahomes, with a torn ACL, unfortunately for him. Also, they are out of playoff contention. The Buffalo Bills pull out a 35-31 victory in New England. The Washington Commanders beating the New York Giants 29-21. Jacksonville Jaguars 48-20 winners over the Jets. Houston Texans 40-20 over the Arizona Cardinals. Denver Broncos 34. Green Bay Packers 26 in that one. Broncos 7-0 at home. LA Rams 41 over the Detroit Lions 34-41 there. And the 49ers 37-24 over the Titans. The Seahawks 18-16 over the Colts. We're going to take a break here on The Point After. Come back with even more right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, folks. Welcome back into The Point After, folks, here at the Swamp Room in Metairie. The Black and Gold get a 20-7 victory today over the Carolina Panthers. Congrats to head coach Kellen Moore and the rest of the Black and Gold on a second straight victory in the season and sweeping their NFC South rival.
Sweeping the Carolina Panthers. We're now 3-2 in the NFC South. And I'll tell you what, this is a lot of promise. Now, head-to-head, what do you do against Atlanta? When you say that's highly successful, that all of a sudden if you go to Atlanta and you close out the season with a win,
that'd be awesome.
What? Because you think about it, we got embarrassed by Atlanta here in the dome. Why don't we embarrass them at the Mercedes Benz Dome?
And Kirk Cousins is always a thorn in our side.
Yeah. So we, you know, he's gonna stay in the pocket. Right. Stay in the box. So just get after him. Now, you know. You got to just get a better pass rush. I think right now, though, because I nitpick. You know, I like to nitpick. I think we still got to be more productive sacking the quarterback. Tyler Shuck got sacked five times. You know, I say you got to know where to dump off the ball. And I'm watching him. You know, sometimes if they bust in the middle, but, you know, you're trying to hold the ball and wait for a play to develop. But if you'd have told me this before the game, that Tyler Shuck would get sacked five times and Bryce Young would get sacked one time. At the end, but I would have thought maybe it would have been flipped around. You know, not necessarily Case, because we've been able to get after Bryce.
Right, win, lose by three instead of win by three.
Yeah, but the one thing right now on the season, you know, I always say this, and this is homework too. I've done this. If we want to be amongst the best and getting after the quarterback, you look at Denver, how they just like unbelievable how many sacks they have. Steve, look what they have probably today. But you look at NFL teams, if you're amongst the best, you know you want to be in the top five and that top ten and everything. Well, we only have 28 sacks in the season. I'm telling you, think we're going to get to high 40s? No. To me, when you're truly getting after the opposing quarterback, you can look at the NFC South, what each team has as far as sacks, because you can say quarterback hurries, quarterback pressures. I like all that tackles for loss, but it's something about a sack. And like you look at Myles Garrett, even though the difference he's made with the Cleveland Browns, he's doing his job, but it didn't matter. But if you look at like the Houston Texans, you look at their edge guys. And
surprisingly, the Dirty Birds, they're getting after the quarterback.
Well, that's what they invested in the draft.
Sure, they better be
So how many they got, Steve?
The Dirty Birds have, Falcons have 48 sacks on the season.
Well, that's what they invested in.
Denver now has, after today's game, 61. 61 sacks, they lead the NFL.
And I'm telling you, if you're in the low 50s, that's usually good enough to lead the NFL. So, like, I always look 48 to 53.
Right.
That's getting it done. What does the Texans have? The Texans got to be up there, huh?
Texans have 38.
Oh, then, you know, that's interesting.
That's
I know
seventh
edge
most.
Guys. So, you know, top 10. So
your top sacking kind of teams, Bobby, Broncos, Falcons, Browns, Seahawks, Chargers, Lions.
Okay, Seahawks, Chargers. You look at the individual players, the Lions, and you look at even right after the Texans, the Rams.
Rams are right there, right.
I mean, to me, I don't know. I know as a quarterback, it was like nothing gives like confidence or encouragement to a defense when they can sack you and they talk crap to you. I'm telling you, when they hit you in the ground, they talk a bunch of garbage. And it'd be interesting to see if the
Seahawks. You ain't nothing, A-Bear.
Yeah. Much more than
I know. I'm cleaning it up.
Yeah, exactly. exactly. And then it'd be interesting to see. I wonder how many times Seattle, if they got to Phillip Rivers, because you know they wanted to give him the business. Hey, old man. And, you know, give him, and then he'd probably talk right back. But that's the only thing to me that has to get better. Chase Young now has six sacks on the season. Cam Jordan, 6.5. Brian Brzee has not been able to build upon what he did last year when he was one amongst the top. But you're running a different defense. You know, he's had 2.5 sacks. Carl Granison came out like hell-bent for leather with 4.5 sacks. And, you know, depending on the rotation – you know, when you get the opportunity, he got ripped off, though, that one game. They called a penalty on him. So I still think he's around 5.5 sacks. But the point being, with 27 sacks, and we won't get near that. I'm telling you, we're really, truly getting it done up front, and you catch everyone's attention. You got to be at least high 40s. High 40s to low 50s. I'm not saying like the Broncos 61. No, that's off the chain. That's unbelievable. But if you're amongst the best, and we've been there before. We have been there in that number before where we've been high 40s, low 50s. Then you're truly getting after the quarterback, the opposing quarterback, and getting their attention.
Saints, a winner, 20-17 over the Carolina Panthers today. We're here at the Point After, hanging out at the Swamp Room in the Metairie, folks. Stop by, say hey to the Cajun Cannon. We'll be back with even more right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat? Welcome back into the Point After here at the Swamp Room in Metairie. The Black and Gold get a 2017 victory against the Carolina Panthers. Week 15, great day in the Dome. Venture Global, folks, donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donations, $37,950. Going to check back into our Point After talk and text line, Cajun Cannon. We got Sean in Colorado. Who that nation in Denver?
Yeah.
What you got for us, Sean?
Who that nation in Denver? Probably enjoying a little skiing right now, or what's up?
Oh, I snowboard, Bobby. But
Okay.
So we looked really good today, I think. I think, you know, Tyler, so he got banged up a little bit. But looking like forward, what do you think it's going to take for Kellen Moore to take us to the promised land? I mean, I want to see it, but is it going to take 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? What's it going to take for this team to start
Now, what are you talking about? Like being playoff relevant, or like
let's get to the playoffs
or like
first. Yeah,
Super Bowl. Yeah, Super Bowl. That might be the next year. No. You got to take baby steps. You have to be playoff relevant. Obviously, you win the NFC South. That doesn't happen. That's few and far between. When you look at what Eli Manning was able to do when they were basically a 500 team in the wild card and they won the Super Bowl, that doesn't happen. But to have a chance to win a Super Bowl, you got to be in the postseason. So obviously, if you win your division, you get to host a home game. All I know is no one ever thought this before the 2006 season, before Katrina. The Saints went 10-6, and they had we were second seeded. All of a sudden, we got a home game. Man, we beat the Eagles. I'm like, what? We beat the Bears. We win the NFC Championship. We going to the Super Bowl. Now, I thought that was overwhelming, considering where we're at as a team. And I was way too ahead of schedule. Now, there's nothing wrong with being ahead of schedule. I'm not against that. But I think the way the NFL is structured, 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year. It's just the way it is. You got to win. Everybody wants to win. Everybody cannot win. But that's just the way it is. Like the Raiders, okay, Pete Carroll, you're too old. No, you got to go. Tom Brady got to hire a new coach of the Raiders. It's just you can see it. At least 6, if not 7 or 8 teams going to get rid of their coach. Now, next year, nothing wrong with this, because look at a parity in the NFC South that we got to hold. Kellen Moore's feet to the fire. We got to go to the playoffs. What do you mean, how do you go to the playoffs? Well, win the NFC South.
Right.
That doesn't mean you're going to win anything, but you're in the hunt.
But you won the division.
Yeah, you won the division.
That is something.
You always want to be in the hunt.
Yeah.
Okay, we won the NFC South. They hang the banner and all that kind of stuff. So, no, that's not unrealistic. That when you look at your competition and what it takes to be a postseason team, and the NFL loves parity, but I would say Super Bowl, until we truly get at the Drew Brees level, because I don't want to make Drew Brees into a god, even though some people think when you consider he first came on board in 2006, we won a Super Bowl in 2009. So when you go like 6, 7, 8, 9, 4 seasons, so now if Tyler Shuck, let's say he works out and Kellen Moore's the guy, do we have patience? But no, you want it might be baby steps. You want us to be in the hunt and not be hanging out with the likes of the Jets and the Titans. You can't be hanging out in the bottom 4 or the bottom 6. No, because that's the coaches that get fired, like the Raiders. Look, can you believe the Raiders beat the Patriots the first game of the season? That's why you got to wait. It's a long season and see what's going to come about. So I would say, yes, it's like, oh, well, we're going to grow as a team. Well, you have to see monumental growth even next year, what we're going to do in the draft. And the thing is, I think that there's no college quarterback that can make us relevant to get to a Super Bowl out of college right now. There just isn't. Okay, if you can name me a quarterback that's better than Tyler Shuck right now, I would take him coming out of college. A lot of them still need to develop. They still need to mature. Now, I don't know about the 2027 draft, but I'm talking about the 2026 draft. There is no quarterback. We're not going to be picking them one. Mendoza, even a guy like Mendoza out of Indiana. Look, he's come up clutch against Ohio State. Look at the throws he made. Tyler Shuck can make that throw, and he can move better. I think like a Mendoza guy is a Jared Goff-type player who can move a little better. But I think Tyler Shuck can even move better than Mendoza. He would be more a poor man's Josh Allen. Look how Josh Allen brought back the Bills today against the Patriots.
Unbelievable.
And then have the Bills gone to the Super Bowl? Have they gone to the Super Bowl with the great quarterback Josh Allen? No, it's a supporting cast. I'm telling you, even if we have a Tyler Shuck or whoever, we got to get better people around him. We got to hit on the draft and pick the right players. I'm not talking about one or two. How about a handful? We need a young handful, impactful players That's going to be the difference when you all of a sudden go into the postseason, and then you can be relevant in the postseason and having a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Just look at, like, the Texans. Okay, they got a young quarterback in C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is not even the strength of the team. Look what he did as a rookie. And then he fell off the cliff, and he's trying to, you know, hang in there. But that's not the strength of their damn defense. Look at the Texans' defense.
Deadly.
So, yeah, you have to look at the Broncos. When Sean Payton made the statement that Bo Nix is the next Drew Brees, what are you talking about, Sean? Come on. Sean's just trying to maybe blow smoke, whatever. That's that damn defense. Look at the Broncos' defense. Even with the rule changes, defense still does matter. And I don't know, you can have bipolar teams. You look up and down like the Eagles.
Ooh, yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen? But I'm just telling you, we need to be in the hunt. And I think we can be in the hunt, and we should have high expectations to Who Dat Nation as a fan base for the 2026 season. But that doesn't mean that we're going to the Super Bowl. Oh, Bobby, that's what it's all about. Yeah, everybody wants to go to the Super Bowl. What are you talking about? Everybody wants to be a Super Bowl champ.
We're going
to
start building that mojo back up.
Yes, we got again, baby steps.
Right.
Nobody wants to be patient and all that.
Now.
No, not now. Now, you know what you could demand? Demand that you win double digits. You know, it's not that hard to go 10-7. So what if you add, like, we get eventually 18 games? So we basically 500, we 10-8, whatever, 11. No, it just shows you. Look at all the teams that are hovering around 500. Look what it's going to take to win the NFC South. Well, what is Tampa Bay in Atlanta right now?
7-7?
Hello? We got 3 games left. I mean, no, the Saints should be there. No, that's why you can't. Oh, we won a few games and all that. No, you got to hold them. They got to be relevant next year. You got to turn things around that quickly.
We're going to be more relevant here on The Point After. First, though, we're going to take a pause. 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Saints are winners 20-17 over the Carolina Panthers, hanging out here on The Point After. Swamp Room in Metairie, folks. We're going to take a break. Come back with more, though, right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're here on The Point After, brought to you by McDonald's, hanging out at the Swamp Room in Metairie at the Black and Gold, get a 20-17 victory against the Carolina Panthers. Looking at our talk and text line, Cajun Cannon, from Gene and Folsom, record aside, I believe the Saints are the best team at the moment in the NFC South.
Yeah, it's all about momentum. That's a good statement.
You just beat the Bucks and the Panthers.
What
so.
Have you done for me right. lately? And stuff. Now, the trifecta would be now just beat Atlanta the last game in their home stadium. And then why not? Who was hot at the end of the season? It'd be the Saints. Now, somebody's going to – might be by default. Now, I'm telling you, that's why I'm intrigued what's going to happen between Carolina and Tampa Bay. 2 out of the last 3 games they play head-to-head. I would tend to think right now that Carolina has more momentum than Tampa Bay, even though we beat Carolina today. Because when I see Todd Bowles dropping F-bombs and all that, right now they're kind of dysfunctional.
See, I lean on the fact that I believe that Tampa Bay is more talented of a team.
Yeah, yeah.
But I hear you about with the coach going off. It's like, how are they going to respond?
Yeah, we have to wait and see. What was the game that still, like, shocked me at the beginning of the year? Didn't Carolina beat Atlanta, like, 30-3? Or I'm almost sure. Carolina played Atlanta, won, like, 30-3. And then I'm looking, Tampa Bay –
30-0 in week 3.
Oh, 30-0. That was week 3, but like 30-0 in the division?
Yeah.
So that's why I don't know. Look, I'll tell you. Well, the last 6 games they won 1 game, Tampa Bay or something. No, they're struggling. They're falling apart. I think the way the key's going to be, I think, Carolina versus Tampa Bay, like our game plan, how we beat them twice. And the first time we definitely did it, can Tampa Bay stop Carolina from running the football? And if Bryce plays like he played today, I think they'll beat the Bucs. Now, if a little Bryce shows up, did Tampa Bay have a convincing win, 2 convincing wins like Carolina had this year? No. Carolina beat the Packers and the Rams. Tampa Bay ain't done that. Look at Tampa Bay's schedule, who they've beaten. I don't think they've beaten the likes. Now, because they won these last-minute Baker Mayfield miracles. I don't think they've had significant wins like beating the Packers.
No, their best wins, Seattle and San Fran.
Yeah, no, San
Houston
Fran.
As well. That was week two.
Yeah, week two. Okay, now that's the 20-19 type win against the Texans. Seattle, that was a shooter. I think that was a Baker miracle.
Yeah, in Seattle.
That was a Baker miracle. And at Seattle, no, that would be the most impressive win to me. San Fran at home, the 49ers dealing with a bunch of injuries.
Right.
No, they got waxed by the Lions 24-9. You know, when I look at that, and then they go on all this losing streak until they beat the Cardinals. With loss to New England, Buffalo, the Rams, and they beat the Cardinals 2017. No, Tampa Bay is trending in the wrong direction. I would tend, now I don't know what's going to happen, but I would tend to go more with Carolina in the last three games, two out of three, they're playing head-to-head. I would tend to go with Carolina more than Tampa simply because, I mean, right now, when you get Todd Bowles to freak out and drop all them F-bombs, and Todd Bowles is like a stoic. He doesn't do that kind of thing. And, man, come on, players got to be approved. Now, maybe that might challenge them.
I thought he was auditioning for Scarface, too, with all the F-bombs.
You know, a lot of people say, like, oh, your coach, you can't throw your players under the bus. Well, how about you players step up and do what you're supposed to do and be a pro? I mean, everybody's too sensitive. Oh, the coach was mean to me. He was mean and throw me under the bus. No, you beating Atlanta by 14 points, they should have never came back. That's why, I don't know, I'm kind of going with Carolina right now more than Tampa Bay, simply because the Bucs are reeling.
Well, the Saints got a 2017 victory today, folks. We're going to take a break here on The Point After at the Swamp Room in Metairie. Come back with even more and find out what's bugging Bobby right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. What is up, Hoodads? Come back here on The Point After at the Swamp Room in Metairie. The Saints get a 27 victory over the Carolina Panthers. Great day in the Dome, Cajun Cannon. But we're going to find out what's bugging Bobby about today's game now. Brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. And Cajun Cannon, what is bugging you about today's victory?
The damn officials. I don't know. Sometimes
the zebras.
I want them to be part of the game, but you don't never notice them. Now, I guess you could be strict. You could be strict by the rules, and they are flag happy. It depends on the crews you get. But too many damn penalties. And I don't care if it went against Carolina or the Saints. You called 20 penalties in a game. Now, if you jump off sides or illegal procedure, but if it's a judgment thing, sometimes you got to just look the other way. I like a game when I see only 9 penalties. Now, you had twice of that basically when you had 20 penalties. No, and that definitely affected the Saints and Carolina. Carolina had 11 penalties, 103 yards. That's a touchdown plus. Carolina's lucky the game was that close. But the reason why maybe the game was that close, because the Saints had 9 penalties. So it's almost like a wash when you think 9 penalties or more, 100 yards. The Saints had 9 for 78. So that's the difference, kind of field goal. The Saints win 20-17, but that was bugging me. I like the game to be moving. I don't like it to be stopping. Another damn flag? Okay, what did you call now? Oh, do I have to challenge this or not challenge this?
Right.
I mean, I just like a game. I don't know. I think a lot of fans might like it. Now, you got to call something. Like, oh, he's offsides. How can you not call that? But you watching the ball, you don't know who's holding or what happens and all that. That was a good game. They only called 9 penalties. So that's what's bugging me. Too many damn penalties in a game with 20.
One of the things, too, you mentioned the referees. There was a spot late in the game, I thought, too, that we got the first down, and they still gave us – it was short of the first down marker, and I didn't understand why it wasn't even challenged or why didn't they even try to, you know, fix the spot on that. But overall, yeah, not a good day from the zebras, you could say.
Yeah, you have some of them that really want to be involved in the game. And you have different crews. You might think, oh, they're all the same. No, they're not robots. They're humans. And you have different crews. And believe you, Sean Payne was on top of this. I'm sure Kellen Moore is too. They know the crews they're getting, if they're flag happy or not. And you got to address that to the team, because a player, you might have to have a little more discipline about your hand placement and all that. because they have some officials, they're so anal. It's like, oh, this is how I was taught in referee school, whatever. I have to call that. No, that's a hold. Versus, does it have an impact on the play? To me, if you have a penalty away from the ball, you should never call that. Or you should pick up the flag. Like, let's say you have a play, and it was a penalty, but it did not influence the outcome of the play. But then don't call it. Now, if it influences the outcome of a play, yeah, that's right in your face. But all of a sudden, you see them throw a flag, and the ball's way over here, and they call something over here. Like, well, what? No, I don't care if it's for the Saints, against the Saints, or any team you like. No, let the game go on. And don't be just like throwing a flag to throw a flag. Now, I don't know how can you legislate that, the NFL owners and the competition committee and what they would do. But I think it just bodes well that if you have an extreme game, it should be like 15 penalties, not 20 penalties. But I like a game more 9, 10 penalties. And again, you could break it down. 9 penalties or more is like giving up a touchdown or 100 yards. That's why, did Charlie ever look this up? I gave Charlie a homework assignment that I think that how many teams have won, like Atlanta had 19 penalties and they still won the game. I want to say it was like right at 130 yards, but 19 penalties? Shame on Tampa Bay that you didn't beat Atlanta. They had 19 penalties and they won the game. That hasn't happened too often, especially at the NFL level. You have 19 penalties, you ain't winning jack. You're shooting yourself in the foot.
Real quick from AI, at least, so I don't know the accuracy. I just Googled it real quick, Bobby. At least 4 teams in the Super Bowl era, it's saying, have won an NFL game with 19 or more penalties. Falcons recently doing that. They were the fourth, December 2025, they did it, joining the Broncos, Chargers, and Eagles.
Okay, the fourth team in the Super Bowl era. You know when the Super Bowl started? I was in first grade. So you have 19 damn penalties, you ain't winning jack. And the Falcons just so happened to beat Tampa Bay. So they are fortunate to win that game because you can't be that undisciplined. To me, 19-year-old's penalties, probably definitely double digits should have been called. But I don't know, 19's a lot. And you never win. No, that's the number one thing, you know, like the turnover margin. Are we in the plus or minus side, plus one, plus two, or minus one, whatever? No, that is like a turnover plus when you have that many penalties.
Looking real quick here, too, one of the tidbits from today with the Atlanta Falcons. They won a game with 19 accepted penalties, a remarkably high number, becoming the 12th team to even commit that many in a game, only the fourth to win.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're shooting yourself in the foot. And that's the Super Bowl era that. No, it's amazing. I'd have been pissed off if we don't beat Carolina and they had 11 penalties, 103 yards.
Yeah.
I said, hell yeah, we should win that kind of game. Now, how we kept it close because we had 9. But I don't know. You had a flag-happy crew just wanting to throw penalties. They called 20 damn penalties. I'm not saying some of them are legit. Like, if you jump off sides and all, you got to call that. But a judgment call and all that, holding this and that. That's way out of line.
Charlie did add here, too. The Falcons beat the Bucs with those 19 penalties. They joined the Raiders, who set the all-time penalty record at 23 against them in a 2016 victory. So the Raiders had 23 penalties in a 2016 victory over the Falcons. Well, so they got paid back today on that.
Yeah, against Tampa. Yeah. How crazy. It's like... Well, you know, it's a bunch of outlaws, a bunch of Raiders and Buccaneers. you look at that. No, that's not surprising about the Raiders, though. The Raiders will probably punch you in the gut or punch you in the throat and all. Oh, like, that's a personal foul. You can't do that. Unnecessary roughness. Today we had a couple of those. Unnecessary roughness. Sometimes they call unnecessary roughness. I don't know. It looks like a hard tackle to me. Oh, you hit him too hard. I mean, you know, you want to protect the quarterbacks, I understand all that, because we want to see the Pat Mahomes of the world play and the Joe Burrow and all that.
Yeah, I didn't like seeing Shuck get roughed up a little too much today.
Yeah, and he's got to learn from that if you want to last.
Yep.
No, if you want to last, but they're trying to help you last. They're trying to protect the quarterback. So you just got to get down smart and don't play like Jackson Dart. Don't do like Jackson Dart and run along the sideline thinking, oh, they're not going to hit me. No, you're still in bounds. I'm going to lay you out. No, you got to step out of bounds. Come on, help out the officials there. I think the officials side on that part. Jackson Dart said, no, that's the way I play. I'm going to do what I want. No, you're not going to do what you want. You won't last. The Giants are going to have to get another quarterback because you got knocked out and you're done. You know, you're going to be like, I think he did the game today with Robert Griffin. You know, Robert Griffin was rookie of the year with the Redskins. Remember Washington?
Yep.
How long he played in the NFL?
Drafted with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I mean, how long? No, you got to play smarter. You won't last.
Saints get a victory today. Pelicans get a victory today. They beat the Chicago Bulls 114-104. We're taking a break here, folks, on The Point After at the Swamp Room Amenity. Coming back with even more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. It's an all New Orleans Sunday, folks. Saints winning over Carolina 20-17. The Pelicans winning 114-104 in Chicago. Let's pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here at The Point After at the Swamp Room in Metairie, Cajun Cannon, I wanted to read this for you. Adam Schefter from ESPN put this out there. Six teams won in Week 15 after trailing by at least 10 points, tied for the most in a single week in NFL history. The Bills overcame a 21-point deficit to defeat the New England Patriots 35-31. Atlanta overcame a 14-point deficit
Thursday.
Chargers, Rams, Saints, and Seahawks all overcame 10-point deficits to win today.
Well, the NFL loves this. They love parity. You know why? Because it gives all these cities hope.
Yep.
No, that's why. I'm telling you, they want everyone hovering around 500. So if you're above 500, then you got a special team. No, the NFL, they love this. They love this.
And you're never out of it.
No, you're never out of it. Exactly.
Cajun Cannon, black and gold, get a 2017 victory. Final thoughts about a big victory for this team and going into another week where you're going to be home, closing out a home finale against the Jets.
Yeah, the home finale, we should be favorite. Oh, I don't know, three and a half points. You should be favorite against the Jets. The Saints got to win three in a row.
That's a wrap, everybody. Have a great night. For the Cajun Cannon, Luke Augusta, Charlie Long, I'm Steve Geller. Take it away.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that? Go Saints.
Who that?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.